Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we explore our call to always be rich towards God. So let's pray. O Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strength to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two readings for today, and they're both from the NIV. The first one is from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, and then from 12 to 14, and then chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days his work is pain and grief. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. And then Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, that is Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes is penned by someone who, although he identifies himself as king over Israel and speaks as though he were Solomon, nowhere does he say that he is Solomon. Add to that the fact that the Hebrew is from a later date. It is possible that Solomon's thoughts underwent some revision, or it was a reflection by a later writer on King Solomon's thoughts on the matters discussed here. In any event, our reading reflects the deep, deep frustration of a person who felt that life is oftentimes futile, particularly when he thought about all the things he had worked for under the sun. Under the sun, meaning in this world, not necessarily outdoors, and how the thought of leaving it all to one who would come after him was immensely unsettling. The reason being, he had no idea whether the person following him would be wise or foolish in handling the things that were established or built through great effort. Would they even appreciate it, build well on what he had done, or simply be wasteful? And so he feels downcast, thinking about all his efforts and what he had built, with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. All he owns will be left to someone who had not worked for it. And this, in his opinion, is meaningless and a great misfortune, and a source of stress and anxiety, on top of the stress and anxiety which had been part of making something of worth in this world. It would seem that the writer is not only thinking of his immediate children, but possibly of all who would follow him. And so, we are made aware here, subtly I would say, that any meaningful existence must include God. And so we leave Ecclesiastes, and we find the issue of inheritances is picked up in our gospel reading, as it begins with a call for help, that Jesus would sort out a dispute over inheritance, and ends with him telling a parable to those gathered. A parable which is only found in the Gospel of Luke, and which concludes with God echoing the sentiments expressed in Ecclesiastes. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Now it is widely thought that Jesus was regarded as a teacher or rabbi, and as such was a member of a class which dealt with both religious and civil matters. At least this might have been the impression in the minds of those listening to him. Despite various positions taken by commentators as to whether the brother was the elder or younger, and what that would mean in terms of the law with regards to inheritance, which according to Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 17 was that two-thirds of an estate went to the elder and one-third to the younger, we are still left in the dark as to what exactly the problem was, only that one brother believed that the other brother was defrauding him of an inheritance which he felt was rightfully his. Based on the language, it seems that Jesus was simply being asked by this man to rule on the matter and to do so in his favor. Before he could go any further, Jesus refused to settle the matter, not wanting to be drawn into family affairs which revolved around things that were not his business and would detract from his mission. Instead, he used the moment to go directly to the root of the problem by giving a stern warning against greed, or, as some of the older Bible versions have it, covetousness. This has led some to think he may have had a personal knowledge of the details of the man's situation, but we can't be sure. Now, covetousness may be understood as the desire to have more than one actually has or even needs, at the same time not necessarily out of envy for other people's wealth. But with covetousness, a number of problems arise. It not only has the potential to lead to conflict, as with this man who approached Jesus, but it reveals a fundamentally wrong attitude to life, where possessions are taken to be all that really matters in this world. In many cases, wealth and possession are the things which provide people with a sense of worth and purpose. They are the very thing that defines who they are. And so to illustrate the point then, Jesus tells that simple parable to drive home very plainly the truth that it only requires God to step in and take away a person's life for it to immediately become clear how useless possessions can be, especially when one is no longer there to enjoy them and someone else may get them, and who knows how they will take care of them. The parable certainly helped the listeners and us to grasp the fundamental truth that money cannot buy everything. Of course, the underlying truth is that while some may have wealth, the grace of God is not for sale. In Jesus' parable, the rich man had failed to gain the most enriching thing that human beings can ever know, and that is a right relationship with God. Thus, he was a fool. In this context, a fool is a godless and therefore a senseless person, for he made earthly provisions for himself at the expense of knowing God, as well as the opportunity to be rich towards God. And so as we come to a conclusion, the obvious question then arises, how should one understand possessions, and in what way can one be rich towards God? To answer that, we need to read a bit further than our text. From verse 22 onwards in Luke. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And so it becomes clear then that the disciples, which includes us, should not worry about food and clothing, the two essential requirements for the body, as if they were the most important things. The person is more important. If God feeds even carefree birds and clothes the flowers, then we can be sure he will provide what is necessary for his children. In any case, worry or anxiety cannot make a person live any longer, nor will it change one's circumstances. In a world in which people are easily caught up in a rat race for better living conditions, Jesus directs God's people to pursue a different thing, to first seek out God's will and his salvation, for then they will find that their daily needs are taken care of, especially when they are intent on living for Christ in a more meaningful way. Of course, some may argue that this way of living encourages laziness and lack of concern about the practicalities of everyday living. But Jesus was not talking to lazy people. He was talking to worried, anxious people, and to those who may be tempted to focus on the here and now, which has all the potential to swallow them alive as they become more and more fixated on accumulating stuff as well as wealth. On the other hand, we know that the reality is that not every Christian enjoys a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and food to meet the family needs. In the words, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well," which guide how we ought to be rich towards God, we must, in all circumstances, believe that God will supply our needs in every way possible in order for us to do his will, in order for us to set our aim in life on God himself and the accomplishment of his purpose of bringing all life under his rule. And this is where the words of Jesus make sense. This is where we are able to be rich towards God, by focusing on him and knowing that he will look after us. Amen. Let's pray. Blessed be your name, God. Thank you for all the blessings you have given us. Thank you for the abundance that awaits us in heaven. On earth, help us to seek first your kingdom, not our own wealth. Help us to lean on you for your provision. Teach us to work for your kingdom reign, not our own. Help us to walk by your word, not by our own views on life in this world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.